CBS Fair presents the Screen Guild Players and James Warlick's stirring and thrilling study of a killer's psychology, Blind Alley. It stars Edward G. Robinson as Professor Shelby, Roderick Crawford as Hal Wilson the Killer, Isabel Jewell as his girlfriend, and Frank Albertson as Fred Landis. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Blind Alley. Anthony Shelby, and I'm professor of psychology at a Midwestern college. Mrs. Shelby and I were sitting quietly at home one evening last June, talking over the end of another school term. The nurse, whom we have for our little boy, was upstairs putting him to bed. Suddenly, there was a noise from the front hall.
Listen, Will. Was he at the front door?
Yes, Mary, it just sounds like it. I'll see what...
Just stay right where you are, mister.
What?
But, Will, I dare you walk in here.
Take it easy, lady.
What are you doing here?
Stand over there, mister. Take a look in the other room, Maisie.
Okay, Hal.
Pull them window shades, but...
Yeah. Hey, look here.
Who are you? My name's Wilson, Hal Wilson.
Hal Wilson?
The notorious gunman?
Yes, I heard of you, Hal.
Nobody downstairs but these two, honey.
First the dame, Maisie. Buck, give the guy a quick once-over.
Well, what possible reason have you for breaking in here, Wilson?
Cops are right on my tail. I need a hideout.
Just an overnight visit. A fellow called Nick's picking us up in a motorboat in the morning to take us across the lake. The dam's out there, honey.
The guy's clean, Hal.
Get back to the car, Buck. Pull it around back of the house where nobody can see it.
Sure.
How many are living in this house, mister?
Just my wife here, my young son, and the nurse.
Where's the kid and the nurse?
Upstairs.
Go upstairs, Maisie. Tie him up.
Oh, you won't hurt my baby.
No, don't worry, lady. I've got a kid by myself.
Take the dam along with you, Maisie. Tie her up, too.
Oh, okay.
Come on, sister. Get moving.
Is all this necessary? Can't you see for yourself we're entirely helpless?
Can't afford to take chances, mister. Yeah. And if I catch you in any funny business, I'll fix it so you won't get no second chance. That goes for you, the dame, and the kid. It's up to you, buddy, so watch your step.
Looking back on that night, it seems unreal, fantastic. We were at the mercy of a desperate, cold-blooded killer. I decided that the safety of my family depended on placating Wilson, disarming his suspicions by appealing to his vanity with seemingly innocent questions about himself. It was like being face-to-face with a cobra, not knowing what moment he would strike.
Say, mister, you ain't trying to get funny with me, are you? Because if you are, don't. Better than you tried it and got over it sudden-like. Very sudden-like.
Oh, good heavens, Wilson, don't be so touchy. What's wrong with a few simple questions? I meant no harm.
You didn't, huh? I got a good mind to let you...
I lay out the professor, Hal. He's okay. He's sort of regular.
Yeah, he's too regular. That's just the trouble. There's something very funny about you, mister. You're too quiet, too friendly-like. Something's tricky somewhere.
Well, it's only that, well, I don't meet people like you every day, Wilson. You interest me.
Oh, I do, huh?
Yes, you're not like other people.
And I...
You're an individualist.
He's what?
Well, he knows what he wants, and he's not afraid to go after it.
I'll say I ain't.
Well, he gets what he goes after, too, Professor.
Yeah. You know, now and then you cough up what sounds like sense, Professor.
You see, how I think he's all right.
I sure say he's too nosy, just like the cops.
Oh, no, the... Police are interested in your crimes, Wilson, but I'm a psychologist, and what I want to know is something different.
Such as what, Professor?
Well, things like his boyhood, the dreams he had.
Oh, that's a lot of baloney.
I had a book all about dreams once. It was
a lot of junk.
See, Professor, I want a dream, and I'll be
so loud. I'm interested in what your dream. Look, Professor, you ever heard of anyone having a dream more than once? The same dream, I mean?
Yeah. Many people have recurring dreams.
What does it mean?
Well, usually a very deep-seated fixation.
What's a fixation?
Well, something one did that left a deep effect on the subconscious mind. You see, Wilson, we all have two minds.
Yeah?
The conscious and subconscious. It's in dreams and instinctive feelings that the subconscious comes out.
Yeah, gee, Doc, I'll just sit and listen to you talk all night.
Yes, it is interesting, isn't it?
So other people get them too, huh?
Yeah.
You know, Professor... I've had a dream. I've been dreaming ever since I was a kid.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, you see, it's... Ah, now, why talk about it?
Well, why not? Perhaps I can help you.
I don't trust you, mister.
You don't trust anyone, do you?
I have never found anyone I could trust.
Well, tell me about your father and mother, Wilson.
They both kicked off when I was a kid.
Who brought you up?
My aunt. She was the meanest, no-good, drunken...
Did she beat you?
Yeah, when she was drinking, she was always that way.
Well, didn't you have anyone you were fond of?
No. That is, like... No, nobody at all.
Well, but how? What about time?
Shut up!
But you told me you liked
her. I'm telling you to keep your nose out of it.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me.
She was your cousin, wasn't she?
Honey, it's got nothing to do with it.
Well, gee, Professor, I don't know why he always gets sore every time anybody mentions
her. Are you going to shut up?
I All right, Hal, forget it.
I guess you must have thought a lot of this, Tiny, didn't you, Wilson? Was he your aunt's daughter?
Yeah.
You grew up together?
Yeah, she always used to...
Well, go on. You were about to say that...
Nuts. I wasn't going to say anything.
Yes, but if you tell me about her, I
said I don't want to talk about it. Skip it.
The situation already is bad enough. It's further complicated by the untimely arrival of Fred Landis, one of my students who came to bid me goodbye. Wilson forced me to admit Fred and then proceeded to taunt the boy over his helplessness. Fred, young and hot-headed, threw caution away and...
You better keep that trap of yours shut. I'm telling you, wise guy.
Now, supposing I don't like being told. Supposing I tell you what I think of you and you're not kind.
Oh, Fred, don't be a fool. Do as Wilson says.
Let him shoot his mouth off, Professor. Look at him. He's scared stiff.
Sure I'm scared. But don't kid yourself. It's not you I'm scared of. Give the credit to that gun of yours. Just how brave would you be without it?
That's one thing you ain't never going to find out, sweetheart. Get over by that wall.
Yeah.
Come on, move.
Wilson, what are you going to do?
I'm going to teach this college chap a lesson. I've been aching for a long time to take a crack at one of those rah-rah chaps, and now I got a chance. So you think I'm yellow, do you? Well, wise guy, this will learn you how yellow I am.
When Wilson shot and critically wounded that defenseless boy, while I stood helplessly by and then refused to let him send for a doctor, I determined on a desperate chance to destroy the gangster by putting the one weapon at my command, my knowledge of psychology, words against his grim gun. For the 4 long hours that followed, I plagued Wilson with questions in a ceaseless effort to gain his confidence and break down his mental defenses. In some measure, I succeeded because the next morning, the girl, Maisie, came down the stairs worried and angry.
Say, Professor, what are you doing to Hal anyway? When we got through talking to you last night, he was reeling wet and shaking like a leaf.
Well, I'm only trying to help Hal, Maisie.
No, don't make me laugh. Why should you want to help him? I said there was something fishy about you, and there is. Now I'm getting wise to you. Yeah, and Hal's getting wise to you, too. And if you don't want to end up on a marble slab, or you lay off that screwy talking to you.
Come on, I want this to get on downstairs.
What's the idea, Hal? What are you bringing the nurse down here for?
He can take care of the door and the phone. Hey, remember what I told you, sister?
Yes, nobody's home. Doctor and Mrs. Shelby went out of town and won't be back until tonight.
That's right, and see that you don't forget. Oh, Professor, how'd you like spending the night in handcuffs?
I didn't sleep much, Wilson.
Neither did I, so we're even.
What kept you awake?
Nothing you had to say, Mr.
You gotta stop listening to him, Hal.
He can spill more things in 5 minutes to make a guy think.
Oh, promise me you won't pay no attention to what he said.
He ain't putting nothing over on me. I know what he's trying to do.
Do you, Wilson?
Yeah. I got a hunch you're trying to get me all balled up so I won't know where I'm at.
I told him you was wise to him, Hal.
Something tells me to drill you right now. Well, I keep on letting you talk. Why?
Because you know down deep these things worry you, and you've got no one else to turn to but me.
Oh, yeah?
Hal, let's get out of here.
Stop worrying, will you? I ain't afraid of this guy and his talk. Now get upstairs and keep an eye on the dame and the kids. Go on.
Hal, all right. Honey, the sooner we get out of here, the better.
Now, you're in bad shape, Wilson.
Nuts.
Did you know you're suffering from paranoia?
What's that?
Well, we'll say, for instance, you're driving a car. You can see the road, trees, automobiles, houses, just like anyone else. But then sometimes you become aware of another thing, something you can't see but can feel.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, you do. It drives you into going faster and faster and follows.
No.
You can't take it off. You can't get rid of it. It's always just behind.
No.
And then...
No, no, it's alive. It's alive. Who told you that? Who's been talking about me?
All right, it's a lie. But if it's a lie, why bother about it? Sit down. Don't get excited.
What do you want to talk that way for? It don't get you no place with me.
No, perhaps not.
Well... How do you know that about me?
It is always behind you, isn't it, Wilson?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess as I look back on it, I know there's nothing there before I look. Well, don't go away. It almost drives me nuts. It kind of moves,
huh? How?
I don't know. Sort of like it was swinging.
Yeah. Well, that's the same impression you get from that pillar of stone in your dream, isn't it? As though it were high and swinging. As though it were always just about to crush you.
Yeah. In the dream, it's like I was running like blazes, but I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah, does this feeling, this danger, seem to come from any specific source connected with a man or a woman?
I don't know.
Have you ever had a feeling that is an almost instinctive sensation that something horrible, something in the shape of a girl or a woman, is about to swing on your shoulders from behind and above you?
Don't, sir!
Have you?
Yeah.
Is it always a girl?
Yeah. I don't know. What makes me forget? What do I think about it? I don't know.
Well, yes or no, as the case may be, is your instinctive reaction answer. And then your conscious brain goes to work and you lose it.
Listen, what's that noise?
You jump it. It's only your girlfriend, maybe, coming down the stairs.
Oh. What do you want me to do?
Well, the missus and the kid are safe. I found a big room in the attic that can be locked up from the outside, and I'll figure that. Hey, where's that nurse?
What's
that? The nurse. Oh, she's gone.
Gone. You mean
she's not out of the hall. She's let her get away.
Yeah, just go out quick. Out the back way, Missy. Get Buck. Don't shoot like you have to. I'm going out the car as soon as I tie this guy up.
Okay, Hal.
Listen to me, Missy. If that nurse gets away, I'm going to get that kid of yours down here and let him have it. Then your wife and then you. Now get that great mind of yours working and figure out a way around that one.
Waiting for Wilson and the others to return. In reality, they were back in a few minutes. Captain Wilson had caught the nurse before she had been able to give the alarm. Moaning and sobbing, she'd taken upstairs. Maybe stayed behind to give me a word of warning.
Now get this, Professor, and get it straight. This was your fault. And from now on, you lay off all our talk to them hand in hand.
Now, why don't you let Hal speak for himself?
Well, because he ain't wise, that's why. He gets himself in jam sometimes, and I have to look after him. I'm kind of crazy about him, see?
Well, you think you know this pal of yours pretty well, and you probably do under most circumstances, but,
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players and James Warwick's stirring and thrilling study of a killer's psychology, Blind Alley. It stars Edward G. Robinson as Professor Shelby, Roderick Crawford as Hal Wilson, the killer, Isabel Jewell as his girlfriend, and Frank Albertson as Fred Landis, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players in Blind Alley. I am William Anthony Shelby, and I am professor of psychology at a Midwestern college. Mrs. Shelby and I were sitting quietly at home one evening last June, talking over the end of another school term. The nurse, whom we have for our little boy, was upstairs putting him to bed. Suddenly, there was a noise from the front hall.
Listen, Will. Wasn't that the front door?
Yes, Mary. It did sound like it. I'll see what...
Just stay right where you are, Mrs.
What?
How dare you walk in here?
Take it easy, lady.
What are you doing here?
Stand over there, Missy. Take a look in the other room, Missy.
Okay, Hal.
Pull them window shades, Buck.
Yeah. Hey, look here.
Who are you? My name's Wilson. Hal Wilson.
Hal Wilson.
The notorious gunman?
Yes, they heard of you, Hal.
Nobody downstairs but these two, honey.
First of all, Missy. Buck, give the guy a quick once over.
Well, what possible reason have you for breaking in here, Wilson?
Cops are right on my tail. I need a hideout.
Just an overnight visit. A fellow called Nick picking us up in a motorboat in the morning to take us across the lake. The van's out there, honey.
The guy's clean, Hal.
Get back to the car, Buck. Pull it around back of the house where nobody can see it.
Sure.
How many are living in this house, mister?
Just my wife here, my young son, and a nurse.
Where's the kid and the nurse?
Upstairs.
Go upstairs, Maisie. Tie him up.
Oh, you won't hurt my baby.
No, don't worry, lady. I've got a kid better myself.
Take the dame along with you, Maisie. Tie her up, too.
Oh, okay. Come on, sister. Get moving.
Is all this necessary? Can't you see for yourself we're entirely helpless?
Can't afford to take chances, mister. Yeah. And if I catch you in any funny business, I'll fix it so you won't get no second chance. That goes for you, the dame, and the kid. It's up to you, buddy, so watch your step.
Looking back on that night, it seems unreal, fantastic. We were at the mercy of a desperate, cold-blooded killer. I decided that the safety of my family depended on placating Wilson, disarming his suspicions by appealing to his sanity with seemingly innocent questions about himself. It was like being face-to-face with a cobra, not knowing what moment he would strike.
Say, mister, you ain't trying to get funny with me, are you? Because if you are, don't. But I'm in the new tried it and got over it sudden-like. Very sudden-like.
Oh, good heavens, Wilson, don't be so touchy. What's wrong with a few simple questions? I meant no harm.
You didn't, huh? I got a good mind to let you...
I lay out the professor, Hal. He's okay. He's sort of regular.
Yeah, he's too regular. That's just the trouble. There's something very funny about you, mister. You're too quiet, too friendly-like. Something's fishy somewhere.
Well, it's only that, well, I don't meet people like you every day, Wilson. You interest me.
Oh, I do, huh?
Yes, you're not like other people.
And I...
You're an individualist.
He's what?
Well, he knows what he wants, and he's not afraid to go after it.
I'll say I ain't.
Well, and he gets what he goes after, too, Professor.
Yeah. You know, now and then you cough up what sounds like sense, Professor.
You see, Howard, I think he's all right.
I sure say he's too nosy, just like the cops.
Oh, no, no. The police are interested in your crimes, Wilson, but I'm a psychologist, and what I want to know is something different.
Such as what, Professor?
Well, things like his boyhood, the dreams of his.
Oh, that's a lot of baloney.
I had a book all about dreams once. It was
well. A lot of junk.
See, Professor, I had a dream and I'll be so
loud. I'm interested in what your dream. Look, Professor. You ever heard of anyone having a dream more than once? The same dream, I mean?
Yeah. Many people have recurring dreams.
What does it mean?
Well, usually a very deep-seated fixation.
What's a fixation?
Well, something one did that left a deep effect on the subconscious mind. You see, Wilson, we all have two minds.
Yeah?
The conscious and subconscious. It's in dreams and instinctive feelings that the subconscious comes out.
Yeah, gee, Doc, I'll just sit and listen to you talk all night.
Yes, it is interesting, isn't it?
So other people get them too, huh?
Yeah.
You know, Professor, I've had a dream. I've been dreaming ever since I was a kid.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, you see, it's... Ah, now, why talk about it?
Well, why not? Perhaps I can help you.
I don't trust you, mister.
You don't trust anyone, do you?
I never found anyone I could trust.
Well, tell me about your father and mother, Wilson.
They both kicked off when I was a kid.
Who brought you up?
My aunt. She was a meanest, no-good, drunken...
Did she beat you?
Yeah, when she was drinking, she was always that way.
Well, didn't you have anyone you were fond of?
No. That is, no, nobody at all.
Well, but how? What about Tony?
Shut up!
But you told me you loved her.
I'm telling you to keep your nose out of this.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing's the matter with me.
He was your cousin, wasn't he?
Honey, it's got nothing to do with it.
Well, gee, Professor, I don't know why he always gets sore every time anybody mentions it.
Are you going to shut up?
All right, pal. Forget it.
I guess you must have thought a lot of this, Tiny, didn't you, Wilson? Was he your aunt's daughter?
Yeah.
You grew up together?
Yeah, she always used to...
Well, go on. You were about to say that...
Oh, nuts. I wasn't going to say anything.
Yes, but if you tell me about her, I...
I said I don't want to talk about it. Skip it.
The situation already bad enough is further complicated by the untimely arrival of Fred Landy, one of my students who came to bid me goodbye. Wilson forced me to admit Fred and then proceeded to taunt the boy over his helplessness. Fred, young and hot-headed, threw caution away and...
You better keep that trap of yours shut. I'm telling you, wise guy.
Now, supposing I don't like being told. Supposing I tell you what I think of you and your yellow kind.
Well, Fred, don't be a fool. Do as Wilson says.
Let him shoot his mouth off, Professor. Look at him. He's scared stiff.
Sure I'm scared. But don't kid yourself. It's not you I'm scared of. To the credit of that gun of yours. Just how brave would you be without it?
That's one thing you ain't never going to find out, sweetheart. Get over by that wall.
Yeah.
Come on, move.
Wilson, what are you going to do?
I'm going to teach this college chap a lesson. I've been aching for a long time to take a crack at one of those rah-rah saps, and now I got a chance. So you think I'm yellow, do you? Well, wise guy, this'll learn you how yellow I am.
When Wilson shot and critically wounded that defenseless boy, well, I should helplessly die and then refuse to let him send for a doctor. I determined on a desperate chance to destroy the gangster by putting the one weapon at my command, my knowledge of psychology, words against his grim gun. For the four long hours that followed, I plagued Wilson with questions in a ceaseless effort to gain his confidence and break down his mental defenses. In some measure, I succeeded because the next morning, Madeira Mazie came down the stairs worried and angry.
Say, Professor, what are you doing to Hal anyway? When he got through talking to you last night, he was reeling wet and shaking like a leaf.
Well, I'm only trying to help Hal,
maybe. No, don't make me laugh. Why should you want to help him? I said there was something fishy about you, and there is. Now I'm getting wise to you. Yeah, and Hal's getting wise to you, too. And if you don't want to end up on a marble slab, boy, you lay off that screwy talking
to you. I want this to get on downstairs.
What's the idea, Hal? What are you bringing the nurse down here for?
He can take care of the door and the phone. I remember what I told you, sister?
Yes, sir. Nobody's home. Dr. and Mrs. Shelby went out of town and won't be back until tonight.
That's right, and sweet if you don't forget. Well, Professor, how'd you like spending the night in handcuffs?
I didn't sleep much, Wilson.
Neither did I, so we're even.
What kept you awake?
Nothing you had to say, mister.
You gotta stop listening to him, Hal.
He can spill more things in 5 minutes to make a guy sick.
Oh, promise me you won't pay no attention to what he said.
He ain't putting nothing over on me. I know what he's trying to do.
Do you, Wilson?
Yeah. I got a hunch you're trying to get me all balled up so I won't know where I'm at.
I told him you was wise to him, Hal.
Something tells me to drill you right now. Well, I keep on letting you talk. Why?
Because you know down deep these things worry you, and you've got no one else to turn to but me.
Oh, yeah?
Hal, let's get out of here.
Stop worrying, will you? I ain't afraid of this guy and his talk. Now get upstairs and keep an eye on the dame and the kids. Go on.
Oh, all right. Honey, the sooner we get out of here, the better.
Now, you're in bad shape, Wilson.
Nuts.
Did you know you're suffering from paranoia?
What's that?
Well, we'll say, for instance, you're driving a car. You can see the road, trees, automobiles, houses, just like anyone else. But then sometimes you become aware of another thing, something you can't see but can feel.
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, yes, you do. It drives you into going faster and faster and follows.
No.
You can't take it off. You can't get rid of it. It's always just behind.
No.
And then...
No, it's alive. Come on. Who told you that? Who's been talking about me?
All right, it's a lie. But if it's a lie, why bother about it? Sit down. Don't get excited.
What do you want to talk that way for? It don't get you no place with me, you know.
No, perhaps not.
Yeah. How do you know that about me?
It is always behind you, isn't it, Wilson?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess as I look back on it, I know there's nothing there before I look. But don't go away. It almost drives me nuts. It kind of moves,
huh? How?
I don't know. Sort of like it was swinging.
Yeah. Well, that's the same impression you get from that pillar of stone in your dream, isn't it? As though it were high and swinging. As though it were always just about to crush you.
Yeah. In the dream, it's like I was running like crazy, but I couldn't get away from it.
Yeah, does this feeling, this danger, seem to come from any specific source connected with a man or a woman?
I don't know.
Have you ever had a feeling that is an almost instinctive sensation that something horrible, something in the shape of a girl or a woman, is about to swing on your shoulders from behind and above you?
Don't, sir!
Have you?
Yeah.
Is it always a girl?
Yeah. I don't know. What makes me forget? What do I think about it? I don't know.
Well, yes, or no, as the case may be, is your instinctive reaction answer. And then your conscious brain goes to work and you lose it.
Listen, what's it like?
You jump it. It's only your girlfriend, maybe, coming down the stairs.
Oh. What do you want
me? Well, the mistress and the kid are safe. I found a big room in the attic that can be locked up from the outside, and I figured that. Hey, where's that
nurse?
What's that? The nurse. Oh, she's gone.
Gone. You mean?
Hold up out of it, Hal. She's let him get away.
Yeah. Just go out. Quick. Out the back way, Missy. Get back. Don't shoot like you have to. I'm going out the front as soon as I tie this guy up.
Okay, Hal.
Listen to me, Missy. If that nurse gets away, I'm going to get that kid of yours down here and let him have it. Then your wife and then you. Now get that great mind of yours working and figure out a way around that one.
Stood there, tied to the banister, waiting for Wilson and the others to return. In reality, they were back in a few minutes. Captain Wilson had caught the nurse before she had been able to give the alarm. Moaning and sobbing, she'd taken upstairs. Maybe stayed behind to give me a word of warning.
Now get this, Professor, and get it straight. This was your fault, and from now on you lay off all our talk to them hand in hand.
Now, why don't you let Hal speak for himself?
Well, because he ain't wise, that's why. He gets himself in jams sometimes, and I have to look after him. I'm kind of crazy about him, see?
Well, you think you know this pal of yours pretty well, and you probably do under most circumstances, but not the present one. If he interferes at the wrong moment, you may get the shock of your life.
Well, you're not telling me about Hal, are you?
I'll take care of the nurse. I'll untie this guy myself.
Okay, honey.
Is the girl hurt?
Not that much. If she means anything to you, Professor, it might make you feel better to know it was your fault.
Well, why don't you put the blame where it belongs?
What do you think I'm doing?
You mean me? But you're wrong. You fell down on your girl. Well, suppose Bucket let her slip out that door. What would you have done?
I'd have plugged him.
Exactly.
I won't ever let nobody... But this was different. I never let nothing like this ever happen before. I take good care it never happens again, Mister.
Yes, but it will happen again. It must happen again and again, as long as that something follows you and drives you into going faster and faster, till you can't think, until nothing matters except that horrible thing swinging behind you, always just behind you. Swinging, swinging.
It's a lie! It's a dirty, rotten lie! Oh, why don't you say something?
You have to hit me, didn't you, Wilson? You know why? You're scared.
Scared? I've never been scared in my life.
Well, that's not true.
Don't call me a liar. I don't take that from nobody.
Well, I'm sorry.
You better be.
But if you're not afraid of anything, what are you trying to escape from?
What do you mean?
Well, you're like a man running down a blind alley in the dark.
Suppose I am.
Well, what are you going to do when you reach the end, the place where you can't go any further?
You better shoot. Keep on shooting.
Well, don't delude yourself.
What do you mean?
You're on the run now. You can't stop to think. You have to depend entirely on your instinctive reaction. Sooner or later, that's going to fail. And when it goes, you're not going to wind up in any blaze of guns and glory. You're going to crack up.
Crack up? You mean I'll...
Yes, quick, Wilson. The cop, right behind you.
Well, what? What are you trying to do? Let the sucker out of me?
No. I'm merely trying to show you what I mean. You had a mental picture of a cop in that window, and your reaction was automatic. You whirled around, gun in hand.
Sure, I did.
Yes, but suppose there had really been a cop there. And when you turned, ready to shoot, the cop suddenly became someone else.
Someone else?
Yes, Buck, or maybe a Tiny, for instance.
Huh?
That would be a niceness, wouldn't it? You pull your gun on a cop and he suddenly turns into Tiny. You couldn't shoot him then, but in that split second, the cop could shoot you. And he would, wasn't it?
Yep. How could a cop turn into Tiny?
Yes, see, that sounds foolish, doesn't it? But it's not. Your brain has been doing things to you. Lots of things you don't understand. Why did you beat that nurse so badly?
Because she ran out. I wanted to teach her a lesson.
No, Wilson, that wasn't it. Who did you see when you looked at her and started to hit her?
What do you mean? I saw the nurse. I didn't see nobody but the nurse.
Hal? Hal, I'm getting worried about Nick.
Whom did you see, Wilson? Answer me.
You let Hal alone. Now you let him alone, do you hear me?
Answer me, Wilson. Whom did you see?
No, not him, Hal. Let him not listen to what he says.
You beat that nurse because she looked like your cousin Tiny.
No, it's a lie. It's a lie.
You better stop pounding at him. Oh, honey, look at me and don't listen to him.
Keep away from me. Let me alone.
But I want to help you, honey. Can't you see he's driving you nuts?
Oh, keep quiet, Maisie, or I won't answer for the consequences.
You can't scare me, mister. Now, you've got to come away with me. Hal, what's the matter? What are you looking at me like that for?
When you come back, you couldn't stay away.
Hal, what's the matter? It's me. It's Maisie.
You're Tiny. That's who you are. Tiny, you dirty, double-crossing little...
Oh. Stop. You don't have to
say it. I'll fix you so you won't come back no more.
Hal, don't. Hal, please, Hal. It's me. It's me. You got my gun.
Hal. Wilson.
Wilson. I'll give it to you, too.
Now, listen to me, Wilson. Listen to me, I say. I'm not going against you. I'm trying to help you. Put that gun down. Put it down, I say.
Hal, what was he shooting? Anything wrong?
No, an accident, Buck. Come on, put yourself together, Wilson. You hear me? Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's Maisie. She did, Hal.
What?
Did you want to knock her off for?
Then knock her off. Knock who off?
Maisie.
Oh, her. She had it coming. Ain't got nothing to do with you, Buck. Get back to the car and stay there till Nick comes. You hear me?
Okay, Hal, okay. You got to show up in a minute now.
She looks quiet, don't she? She's a nice kid. As good as you'd hope to find. I don't know. I can't figure nothing. Why don't you say something, Professor? What are you standing there staring at me for?
You killed her for the same reason that you beat that nurse. What about that dream of yours? Who are you looking at when you shot Maisie?
Who is it looking at?
Yes, you were looking at Tiny. You thought Maisie was your dead cousin Tiny.
No. Lay off. I can't stand
it. It was Tiny, wasn't it? She was your aunt's daughter. She looked like your aunt?
Yes, but Linda.
Was she fond of you?
Sure, she was always around my neck when we were...
Well, what became of her later?
I didn't see her no more.
But why? What made you keep away from her?
I ain't gonna tell.
Well, why don't you tell me?
Because I ain't, that's why.
Well, how long was it until you saw her again?
I tell you, I didn't see her no more. Nobody didn't see her no more.
What did she look like after she was dead?
Like my aunt did. I didn't say she died. She ain't dead. She ain't, I tell you.
Well, how did you kill her?
I ain't gonna tell no
more. Why not? You're ashamed of it, aren't you? You're always ashamed of it. You pushed it away from you and forgot it, didn't you? But I'll tell you how it was.
Don't do it. I won't listen. I didn't kill her. I didn't.
Yes, you did. I'm going to make you tell me. I'm going to drag it out of your subconscious and make you look at it. Don't you remember how it was?
No, I don't remember. I don't want to remember.
You used to beat Tiny often, didn't you?
How did you know that?
Yes, but she loved you anyway. You used to beat her up because she looked like your aunt, and you hated your aunt. And when you beat her up, you used to think about your aunt, didn't you? Tiny would then seem to become your aunt.
It's a lie. Don't talk about it. It's a lie.
You used to dream about murdering your aunt, didn't you?
No, don't.
Yes, you dreamed and dreamed about it until it was almost a fact. And then you tried to make it a fact by killing Tiny. Now, how did you kill her? Come on. How did you do it?
I don't know. Leave me alone.
All right. I'll tell you then. What about this dream of yours? You choked her, didn't you? You hit her on the head, and then you choked her to death. Didn't you? Didn't you?
All right, Doctor. You're right. I knocked her out. And I strung her up by her neck to a beam. I let her swing there for an hour before I cut her down. I didn't mean to do it. She came over me sudden-like. She looked so much like my aunt. And I dropped her down an old fish in back of the house. After she was gone, I didn't care. I couldn't get it out of my mind. The way she was swinging up there above me. But that's what's been behind me all of this time. It's been Tiny. Tiny swinging and swinging. But she ain't real. Tell me that she ain't real, Doc.
Oh, yes, Wilson, she is real. She's right there behind you.
Where?
Well, you can't see her, but she's there just the same. Swinging, swinging. You can feel her right this moment, moving back and forth, back and forth. You can't run away. There's
There's no place you can go. You can never escape.
No, no.
Never.
It's alive. Take her away. Take her away. Why do you tell me this if it don't do no good?
Yes, but it does do good. For that reason, I've done it. You were a menace to society, Wilson. Now you're finished. You came in here last night to escape the law, but you have to stay and listen to me while I drew you a mental picture of yourself. And that picture of yourself is the unbalanced mess you really are. And that is the big shot you always imagined yourself. Has destroyed you. Just as surely as though I'd blown your brains out.
Why, you dirty double-crossing...
Well, go ahead, Wilson. Try to kill me. Well? You can't even shoot now, can you? I've been telling you the truth, and you know it. I've been holding up a mirror of your life. Take a look in that mirror, Wilson. Maisie's in there, and tiny... Tiny, you look like your aunt. Your aunt and your fetus. Look, Wilson.
Yeah. Well, that's why I killed Tiny. She looked like my aunt, and I hated her. No, no, I didn't. I loved Tiny. I loved her, but I killed her. I loved Maisie. I killed her, too.
Yeah. One by one, you've destroyed all the things you set store by. You're alone now, Wilson. All alone.
Yeah, I know, but it wasn't my fault. I never had a chance. They drove me, haunted me. Fellow got a right to fight for his life, ain't he?
Yes, but not to go against the whole structure of society the way you have. Now you know what you've done and why. And you can never escape that knowledge. You're finished, Wilson. You know that now, don't you?
Al, Nick here with the boat. Come on, let's see it.
You and Nick, you're gone.
Why, ain't you coming with us?
Get out, do you hear me? Get out!
Okay, Al, I'm going.
Well, why didn't you go, Wilson?
Look, you're right. Just then, no place for me to go. Here's my gun, Doc. Come on, go on, take it. I got it coming. You won't?
No, Wilson. It's your problem now. You'll have to work it out yourself.
I guess I can take it.
Let me have the police. Hello. This is Professor Shelby. Will you come out right away?
What?
It's a suicide case. Carl Wilson is dead. Well, thank you. I'll be waiting. Lord. I feel like a murderer myself.
Edward G. Robinson, Broderick Crawford, and Isabel Jewell for an absorbing performance.
It was a pleasure to be here, Mr. Bradley. We know how much this radio program contributes to the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house, and we all feel it's a great privilege to share in that work.
Lady Esther, Screen Guild Players will present Arsenic and Old Lace. It will star Boris Karloff and Eddie Albert. Be sure to listen. Blind Alley was produced and directed for Lady Esther by Bill Tonight. Music on tonight's program was arranged by Wilbur Hatch and conducted by Lud Gluskin. Tonight's Lady Esther Screen Guild show is being heard by our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide network and shortwave facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night.